Morning, everyone. Just at this point of the meeting, we'll just still ourselves and commit the meeting to the Lord in prayer. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank Thee for this Thy day, and we thank Thee, Lord, for the freedom that we have to join here to praise and worship the one true and living God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that You would fill us with Thy Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray, Lord, for preacher and hearer alike, Lord, that You prepare hearts, Lord, for the hearing of Thy word, and Lord, that every aspect of this meeting, Lord, would be offered to Thee for Thy glory, and that Jesus Christ would be lifted up. Continue with us now, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship the Lord this morning by turning to hymn 390. 390, Dear Saviour, Thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me, let me repeat Thy name, and lift my heart to Thee, and we'll stand to sing when we get the music, please. At this point, if you just take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, please. And we'll start reading from the start of the chapter. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which means they bribed men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Just now we'll come to the Lord in prayer. We just still ourselves now. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that we can come unto thee through, in and through that precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, depending only on the merit of his precious shed blood. Lord, we thank thee, O God, that we can meet here today, Lord, in freedom, Lord. Lord, that we are not having to meet in a hidden church like those in farther east, in the far east, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we would ever be thankful, Lord, for this, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would give help this morning. Lord, I come in my weakness. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with thy Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, that I would stand here knowing help from heaven and from on high, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. Lord, I pray, Lord, this for every faithful minister of the gospel, Lord, in our land and further afield, Lord. We pray, Lord, that there will be a work done this morning and this day, Lord, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we pray that there will be precious souls saved. Lord, that thy children, Lord, would be edified and built up in their faith, Lord. Lord, we thank thee for every head bowed here this morning. We thank thee, Lord, for putting it upon the heart of thy dear children to be here to offer worship and praise to the true and the living God, Lord. Lord, may Jesus Christ be lifted up this day, Lord. Lord, we remember the Reverend Wilson and Enniskillen today. We pray, Lord, that you would be with him, Lord, and fill him with thy Holy Spirit, Lord, and give him safe and traveling mercies as he comes back to preach this evening, Lord. And we remember the evening service tonight, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to save souls this night, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, to hear that of missions in recent days, Lord, of souls been saved, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would do it again and again. Lord, we need thy Holy Spirit, Lord, to fall upon us. We need our hearts revived, Lord. I need my heart revived, Lord. Revive thy people, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that there would be a vast number of souls saved in our land, Lord, for thy glory, not for our glory, but for thy glory alone. Lord, we remember our missionaries this morning, Lord. We pray, Lord, that wherever they are at this morning, Lord, that you would encourage them and comfort them, Lord. And Lord, maybe they're going through a difficult time, but Lord, we pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit would come alongside them and encourage them, Lord, this day, Lord. Lord, we pray for this meeting now, Lord. Lord, we ask that thou would be pleased to save souls here this morning, Lord. We pray, Lord, that there would be a word of comfort to those who maybe are going through a trial or have a trial ahead of them, Lord. We pray, Lord, that there would be a word in season, Lord. But Lord, but most of all, we pray, Lord, that we would exalt the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, continue with us now, and we ask this all in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Just going to ask Paul if he would come and bring the announcements, please.
On behalf of the Reverend Wilson, we bid you a warm welcome in the Saviour's name along to Sandown this morning. And we trust that each one of us will just know the presence and blessing of the Lord in our lives as we're met together today. A special welcome this morning to our brother David. We're so glad to have David back with us again. And we trust that he'll know the Lord's help as he ministers the word of God today. And also to Ashley, we bid you both a very sincere welcome in the Saviour's name. And we do welcome everyone, and also those who are also watching online as well. Just some of the announcements for the rest of today and then the incoming week. Today at 2:30, we have our Sunday school over in Redburn Community Centre. Do pray for the boys and girls there as they meet for Sunday school. Then back in the church here at 6 p.m. For our time of prayer. We would encourage the Lord's people just to be in the prayer time before the service, praying much for the Lord's blessing upon the preaching of the gospel and the gospel service at 6:30. And our own pastor, the Reverend Wilson, will be back to preach in the gospel. And our singers tonight are Ethan and Anna. Then on Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m., we have the Explorers Bible Club. And at 8 p.m. is the Bible study and the prayer meeting. And again, the Reverend Wilson will be the speaker at our Bible study. Then next Lord's Day, Sunday the 22nd of October, 10:15 a.m. is the Sunday school and Bible class. 11:30 a.m. is our morning worship service. At 2:30 in the afternoon, again, the Sunday school over in Redburn. And then the evening gospel service at 6:30 p.m. And the Hannah family will be along to sing in the gospel service. And the speaker at both of those services will be our brother, Adam Kennedy. And so we're looking forward to hearing Adam preach again here. And next Lord's Day, the Reverend Wilson will be over both in Hillsborough and in Cumber next Lord's Day. So do continue to pray for him. It's a busy time being invited to speak at so many services. But we trust they'll know the Lord's blessing in journeys and also in the preaching. But do remember Brother Adam and next Lord's Day preaching here in Sandown. And then some other announcements. The Missionary Council offering came to £287, and we're thankful to the Lord for that. And we also would again say that the missionary boxes are now due in. We had another gift in a missionary box of £60, and then a gift for the Trinitarian Bible Society of £30. Do remember the Christmas shoebox appeal again, folks, and shoeboxes need to be in by the 10th of November, so do continue to remember that Christmas shoebox appeal, please. We've also been asked to help out, as was announced before, for the Let the Bible Speak recordings in our Lisburn Church on Thursday the 9th of November. That's Thursday the 9th of November. And we again would encourage as many as possible to be in attendance that evening. And if possible, you can put your names down on the list, which will be in the old recording room downstairs. And it's just for some of the evening recordings. And so do take note of that list. And if you're able to help out on Thursday the 9th of November, that would be very much appreciated. Remember also the gospel mission over in our Carried Off Church over these next 2 weeks, and the Reverend Higginson being the gospel preacher in that mission. Also remember that the offering boxes are available as you leave, and you can place your tithes and offerings in the boxes as you leave. I've also just been forwarded an announcement that we are to remember Joan Finlay, who is in hospital at this time. So do continue to remember Joan in your prayers, and also many others who are still unwell at this moment in time. And we're so glad to see Isabel out today, and just continue to remember Isabel and Carl and many others who have been unwell, and we're glad to see them back in God's house today. And we just trust that each one will know the Lord's help. But again, we're so delighted to have our brother David, and we welcome him in the Saviour's name to the pulpit here in Sandown, and trust that he'll know the Lord's blessing today upon his ministry.
I'd like to thank Paul for his words of welcome. It's good to be back with you again to bring God's word. I trust that familiarity won't breed contempt, but I trust that we'll be blessed by God's word today. Just now, we could turn to hymn 331, please. Hymn 331. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. And we'll stand to sing when we get the music. It's our prayer that you could be, everyone, if there's one that's not saved here today, that you'll be able to say, when we all get to heaven, you'll be part of that number. We pray that the Holy Spirit would work in your heart this morning. We'll stand to sing when we get the music. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 7, and turn to verse 51. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did. So do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. We'll just still ourselves at this time. Our loving God and heavenly Father, Lord, as we come now to consider thy word, I pray, Lord, for a fresh cleansing, Lord. I pray, Lord, that thou would fill me now with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, that the words of man, Lord, would fall to the ground, Lord. And Lord, that you would hide me behind thy cross, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would take all fleshly nerves and any fleshly thoughts, Lord, from any of us, take them all away, Lord. And Lord, that you would just shut in with us now. And Lord, that there would be a word and season for all, Lord. Encourage thy dear children. And Lord, restore the backslider. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that thou would save souls here this morning. For we ask all this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Towards the end of the summer, I was traveling to Scotland. And when I'd arrived at Glasgow Airport, I came out of the airport and jumped into a taxi. As we were traveling for the next 40 minutes to where I needed to be, the taxi driver and I began talking. We were discussing the state of society, how confused, militant, and divisive our society was becoming. Now, this man, he wasn't a believer, which I learned from our conversation. However, he went on to say that Scotland is now the first country in the world to introduce fully inclusive LGBT education to primary school children. And this was announced just back in August of this year. Being shocked to learn of this, I began to think of how it appears that things are getting worse. And they are. But I then concluded that society may appear to be getting further and further away from God and more depraved. But from God's word, we learn that society has always been depraved. Sin entered into the hearts of men and women through the fall, through Adam. Romans 5, verse 12 says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Down through the generations, from the beginning of time, this has always been the root cause of the state of our society, that is sin. We can become disheartened with all that's going on around us, with what has been imposed on our schools as part of education, what is being paraded in our streets, the persecution of Christians, the drive from the world to silence the Christian and to silence the truth, and how God's people can feel the attack of the devil, how it is harder and harder for our young people to take a stand as a Christian at school. and how the world would try to make us politically correct with gender identity and all that nonsense. Dear believer, here this morning, how do we take a stand in this present day of affliction? We've been reading about Stephen this morning in Acts chapter 6 and 7. And I want us to consider lessons from Stephen's stand, from the stand that Stephen took. At this point, Stephen had only been saved for a matter of weeks or months before he appeared before the Sanhedrin. At this time, God was blessing and the Holy Spirit was moving amongst the people of Jerusalem. And there were men and women and boys and girls being saved. Although this was a blessing and it was a good thing, this was creating a problem for the disciples. As the Grecians started murmuring and saying that their widows were being neglected, some of the widows whose husbands had died, they were struggling financially. They felt they weren't receiving the practical support of food and money that others were getting. However, the disciples made the decision that they would appoint 7 deacons to take care of the practical needs of the church. As we read at the start of Acts 6, in verses 7 and 8 says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." How those of us who are God's children, we need to be full of faith and power. How we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives each and every day, so that the word of God would increase in our day. Dear believer, this morning, is that what you're praying for? Stephen took a stand in his day. Stephen proclaimed the truth. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of its fullness, and God blessed his ministry. But Stephen really knew God. Stephen had had an encounter with his Maker. He had been brought up in the temple. He knew all the laws of the Old Testament. He had attended the temple faithfully, but this wasn't enough in itself to see him fit for heaven. Dear friend, if you're depending on your church attendance or your knowledge of the Bible, this is not enough to see you fit for heaven. God had removed the scales from Stephen's eyes. He had learned that the promised Messiah that he had read about in his Old Testament copy of the Scriptures was the only means to salvation. He had put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one who shed his blood and died for our sins, that we might be reconciled to God. And this is the message that Stephen was proclaiming, and the Lord was blessing his ministry. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. He was preaching in the power of the Spirit. And how we long for days where God's Spirit would move mightily in this land, and we would see vast numbers of men and women, boys and girls, repenting of their sins and believing on Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation. But the message that Stephen was proclaiming, this was the message by which he was going to lose his life for. Not all of us are called to be preachers of the gospel. So what can we learn from the life of Stephen? What can we take away to the workplace tomorrow, at home with children, or at school or university, wherever it may be? And how can we, when faced with opposition on this earth, be like Stephen? And what enabled him to stand in his faith? And how did he maintain his testimony even when he was facing severe persecution and ultimately death? The name Stephen means victor's crown. And one day Stephen was going to wear the victor's crown. But not because of any merit within himself. There are five inward characteristics that Stephen had that we read from God's word, and one outward characteristic, and that we can take from his example and how we should emulate the life of Stephen when we are faced with trials or opposition. Firstly, we see that Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. This was a requirement that the apostles laid down for the seven men who were to serve the tables. In chapter 6 and the verse 3, they had to have a good reputation, specifically of being full of the Holy Spirit. Now, this didn't refer to some ecstatic experience, but to a daily walk under the control of the Holy Spirit that had continued for a long enough time to produce the evident fruit of the Spirit. This quality is also applied of Stephen in chapter 6, verse 10, where it states that his opponents could not cope, or they could not resist the wisdom and spirit with which he was speaking. But the Savior had already told the apostles in Luke chapter 12 and the verse 12, "For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Those of us who are saved, we have the Holy Spirit to help us in our time of opposition, to help us in our time of weakness, and to comfort us in our time of sorrow. Secondly, he was also full of wisdom. This was the second requirement of the men that were to serve the tables. The Greek word for wisdom is used only four times in Acts, twice of Stephen, chapter 6, verse 3 and 10, and then twice in his message before the Sanhedrin, chapter 7, verse 10 and 22. But we read in Proverbs 2, in the verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Therefore, wisdom comes from knowing God, and Scripture reveals his wisdom. God's wisdom is summed up in Jesus Christ and the cross. To those who are perishing, to those who do not know Jesus as their Savior, the cross is foolishness. But to those who have been called by God, Christ is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. To be full of wisdom, we must grow in our understanding of the cross of Christ, where human pride is humbled and God's grace is exalted. This morning, if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ, that is exactly what you have to do. Humble yourself and look to the cross. This may be foolishness to you, but this is God's way, and it is the only way. Faithful witnesses like Stephen will refute the wisdom of this world, and they will extol the wisdom of Christ and the cross. As believers, we need to look to God's word for wisdom. We need to stop looking inwardly for the answers to our trials, for what to say in the times of opposition. We need to look to the Lord. Thirdly, he was full of faith. Stephen is described in chapter 6, verse 5, as being a man full of faith, referring to his faith in God. Stephen's sermon in chapter 7 shows that he believed in a sovereign God who called Abraham out of a pagan country, and through his covenant dealings with Abraham and his descendants, brought Jesus, the righteous one, to save his people, in spite of their history of rebellion. God is sovereign even in the matter of the cross of Christ. And you can only be full of faith if you believe in a sovereign God who uses even the wicked deeds of people to accomplish his eternal purpose. How could we trust a God that did not work all things after the counsel of his will. When we join Stephen in understanding how God is sovereignly working through our suffering, and perhaps in Stephen's case, even our martyrdom, into his plan, we will be full of faith. God is in control. Maybe this past week, you've been faced with a trial. You're hurting here this morning. Maybe what lies in the week ahead is more grim for you. Well, this morning we can take comfort from the life of Stephen and his example and his time of suffering, that he maintained faith in God. He trusted that the Lord would undertake for him. Fourthly, he was full of grace. The same thing is said of Jesus Christ, who was full of grace and truth. Jesus was God's grace personified. With regards to Stephen, the phrase implies that he had a personal understanding and experience of God's grace as revealed in the cross of Christ. He knew that salvation is not by our works of righteousness, but rather by the undeserved favor of God shown to us while we were yet sinners. If it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. Stephen's Jewish opponents boasted in their observance of the law, although we will see they were blind to their own violation of the law. But Stephen boasted in the grace of God freely bestowed on undeserving sinners. A person who understands and lives out God's grace in the cross also becomes a person who shows grace to others. An inward experience of grace flows outward into a gracious spirit towards others. Stephen's been full of grace means that he was a gracious man. He did not curse his persecutors as they threw stones to crush his bones, but rather he blessed them by praying, "Lord, do not hold the sin against them." The most effective witnesses have a clear understanding of the gospel of God's grace, and they are gracious toward others, even to those who are rude, offensive, or do them harm. What an example that this is to us. Naturally, if we were being stoned to death today, not many of us would naturally want to show this grace. But this is possible when we are walking in the power and control of the Holy Spirit. Finally, in the fifth place, he was full of power. God gave Stephen the ability to perform great wonders and signs among the people. These works of power are not described specifically what they are. They're just mentioned generally, just so that the readers wouldn't focus too much on the specific act. They're just reported generically. Whether this power came upon him after the apostles laid hands on him or before, we are not told. Except for the 12 apostles, only Stephen, Philip, and Barnabas in the early church are reported to have performed miracles. The tense of the verb in the original language in this verse, chapter 6, verse 8, signifies was performing. This indicates that Stephen was doing these miraculous works frequently. You know, God can do miracles at any time that he pleases. But the biblical evidence is that the gift of performing miracles regularly only took place during this transitional period for the purpose of confirming the testimony of the apostles. Today, God's mighty power is shown in our lives when we patiently and joyfully endure trials, not just when we are miraculously delivered from them. When unbelievers see us going through trials with joy and thanksgiving. It provides the platform for powerful verbal witness in which we can glorify God by displaying his power in our lives. Therefore, Stephen's inner qualities, being full of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, faith, grace, and power, show his godly character. Then there is his godly character, which is shown itself in one outer quality, an angelic countenance. As we read in verse 15 of Acts chapter 6. I'm not sure what the face of an angel looks like, but Stephen had such a countenance as he stood before the council. I presume that Luke got this report from Paul, who was there. Whether it was a radiant glow, like the shining of Moses' face when he came down from the mountain, or a serene calmness, we can't say. But his face did not look normal. One commentator said, "The description is of a person who is close to God and reflects some of his glory as a result of being in his presence." What challenge that this is to us as believers today. Maybe you're thinking, there's no way I can be like this. If somebody was stoning me, or I'm not a morning person, if you get me at the wrong time of the day, I can be hard to handle. I have a short fuse, I'm quick of the tongue. These are all examples of our flawed differences in our personalities. But it is in our time of trial, when the world is looking on, that we as believers must seek to glorify the Lord and react like Jesus Christ, like this great example of Stephen, that the world would look on us and see God's grace, faith, and wisdom being displayed in our lives through the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is how we can stand in these days, when we feed ourselves on God's word, and then being full of the Holy Spirit and knowledge of God's word, and relying solely on the Lord to give us grace, faith, and wisdom in our trials, we can glorify God in how we respond to our trials and opposition. So we've looked at Stephen's stand, but let's look at Stephen's stoning. As Stephen's ministry was being blessed, as we've read, he then found himself before some fierce opposition. The Sanhedrin council didn't want to hear the truth of the message Stephen was proclaiming. These men didn't believe that Jesus Christ, who had already died on the cross, they didn't believe he was the promised one that they had read about. They were content with their knowledge and their church attendance. They were satisfied with their own knowledge and self-righteousness, and the truth offended them. They didn't want to humble themselves. These men were convinced by keeping of the Old Testament traditions and laws, they could stand before God and enter into heaven one day. Men and women, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Church attendance cannot save. It cannot build any merit with God. These men didn't want to hear the truth, so they started arguing with Stephen. They accused him of blasphemy, so he was brought before the Sanhedrin council. They stirred up the people and the elders, and these false teachers then questioned Stephen, and they accused him of speaking against God, the law, Moses, and David. Verse 10 and chapter 6 tells us that these men were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen spake in response to their accusations. So Stephen then began to preach to these men. And as Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. This is exactly what Stephen was about to do with his gainsayers, those who want to contradict the word of God. At the start of his message, he gets them hooked on something that they're interested in. He speaks of Abraham and how the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. He captures their attention by speaking about God and the covenant that God made with Abraham. And then as he preaches, he addresses each of the accusations made against them. We hadn't time this morning to read all of chapter 7 down to verse 50. But if you have time this afternoon, read it. That's Stephen's sermon. That's his message. But Stephen then turns the tables on these men in chapter 7 and verse 51. And he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." Maybe there's one here this morning, and the Lord is saying to you, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Are you hardened against the gospel? Has your heart been regenerated? Has your ears been opened to hear the truth and the knowledge of God and His word?" Religious people are often the most hardened in their opposition to the gospel. We can often think drug addicts, hardened criminals, are blinded and hardened against the gospel. But good church-going religious folk are more open. That's not true. These Jewish leaders built their whole lives around religion, but they did not know God in a personal way, and they did not have their sins forgiven. They're about to lynch an innocent man in the name of their religion. Religion can never save a person from sin because it relies on human effort and good works. Religion often keeps a person from salvation because it fosters self-righteousness and pride. A religious person must humble their pride and admit that they are a sinner by coming to the cross of Jesus Christ for salvation. These religious leaders were so hardened by the gospel that we read in verse 54 of Acts 7, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." Then we read on in verse 58 that they cast Stephen out of the city and stoned him to death, all because he presented these men with the gospel. All because these religious men didn't want to hear the truth, they put him to death. Is there one here this morning, and the message of the gospel angers you? Maybe it's cut you to the heart. You thought all along that your church attendance could get you to heaven. Maybe you're steeped in your religion and you're paying into the church. Friend, this morning, if you're troubled and the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man cannot cause an anxious thought. Do not be like these religious men and cast God's message out. Finally, in our last point, we come to Stephen's Savior. In verse 55 and 56, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Stephen saw into heaven. He saw his heavenly Father He saw his Saviour. Not one of us will see God unless we first have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, God's only Son. A.A. Hodge, commenting on the state of man after death, according to the Westminster Confession of Faith, says, "The soul of the believer is immediately made perfect in holiness and continues conscious, active, and happy, and is in the presence of Christ. However, the souls of the wicked, those who haven't put their trust in Christ, they also continue conscious and active, but in a state of penal torment, reserved to the judgment of the great day." John 14, verse 6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Today do not be like these religious men who stoned Stephen and put him to death, all because they wouldn't heed the gospel. Rather, they held to their religiosity and their church attendance. These men today, they're not with the Savior. These men haven't been saved from hell. Their souls are continuing in active torment. They've not trusted in Jesus Christ. They've not humbled themselves and come to Jesus in repentance and faith. Jesus is the only way. He is the truth, and he is life. Come to Stephen's Savior today." Dear believer, Stephen has received the victor's crown. He has seen his Savior, and he is with him now in glory. He has received the prize. He is alive and happy with Christ in heaven. Let us remain faithful in these days. Walk in the Spirit and follow the example of Stephen, as Stephen followed the supreme example of Christ. We can take comfort that we will one day receive our prize. We will spend all of eternity with our Savior in heaven, the one who died for us. And when trials come, let our first thought be to glorify our Savior, that we can hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." If there's anyone here this morning or watching online who does not know Jesus as Savior, these will not be the words that you will hear when you leave this scene of time. You will not see the light of heaven, but be cast into outer darkness for all eternity. May the Holy Spirit deal with you this day. And may you seek the one who is willing to save if you would only humble yourself and come to him. Amen. Just turn in our hymn books, please, or well, on the screen, to 598. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Can you say this morning that you will see Jesus Christ face to face one day? I pray that you'll come to the Savior this day. Thank you. loving God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank Thee for Thy time around Thy Word this morning, Lord. Lord, encourage Thy dear children, Lord. Oh, Lord, one day, Lord, that we will see Thee face to face, Lord. Oh, Lord, encourage each believer here this morning. Encourage those who are maybe going through trials, Lord. Lord, to hold fast, Lord, and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Stephen, Lord. And Lord, if there's one precious soul who does not know Thee, Lord, that Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, would go after them, Lord, and bring them under conviction, Lord. And Lord, that they this day would get right with Thee and be ready for heaven, that they would be able to say that they will see Thee face to face, Lord. O Lord, part with us now Thy blessing, Lord. And Lord, we bring us back this evening, Lord. And Lord, be careful to give Thee all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.